Welcome to the Rosetta Health Podcast Series. In early November, Direct Trust announced its third quarter selection of individuals, teams, and organizations as interoperability heroes in recognition of their commitment to advancing interoperability. And today we're speaking with Catherine Ayers-Wickenhauser, who is the Director of Communications at Direct Trust, who will tell us more about the Direct Trust Interoperability Hero Initiative. And Catherine, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here, Matt.
Awesome. Well, let's jump right in at a high level. If you don't mind, please give us a high level overview of the Interoperability Hero Initiative. Would love to hear more about it.
Yeah, happy to share. So at Direct Trust, we're really passionate about this new initiative that's kicked off. And as you mentioned, we just announced our Q3 class. It's actually the second class of interoperability heroes that we announced. And overall, the initiative was really designed to celebrate the progress that's been made within interoperability and elevate and promote the stories of that progress behind the scenes. I think so often we hear numbers and we tie that to progress, but we really need to put it in the context of stories and actually what's happening in that clinical environment, what's happening with providers being able to exchange data, what's happening beyond the provider environment with patients being able to access their information. So the Interoperability Hero Initiative was really designed as a community initiative to celebrate that success and to elevate those stories of success to share with the broader community.
I love it. What a great campaign there. And you know, in many ways, you answered my next question, which is really, why did you all launch this initiative? But I might pivot a little bit. And since this is your second quarter of doing this, how's the response been? I've certainly been following it and seen your videos. I think it's awesome. But yeah, what's the vibe out there on things you're doing so far with this?
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's really fun to be on this end of it and see the amazing stories that are coming in and the amazing teams and individuals who are being nominated. So I would say the vibe is good and it's really exciting. I think we're very much excited for the future. It looks like each quarter we're gaining more and more traction and more people are interested and want to learn about the initiative. And, you know, one thing that I'll add is that while Direct Trust is shepherding and stewarding this initiative, this is not specific to Direct Secure Messaging or Direct Trust members. Truly, this is meant to celebrate success within the interop community as a whole, including our peer networks that are out there and other standards as well. So I think that's been a wonderful opportunity for the interop and health IT community to come together and celebrate these different people who have been and different organizations who have been doing so much work that collectively contributes to our success, making interoperability happen.
Nice. Yeah. It's like a rising tide lifts all boats approach.
Definitely.
which is great. And then speaking of heroes, tell us about some of the third quarter interoperability heroes and any great success stories to share from these heroes.
Sure. Well, I think we could be here all day talking about these amazing interop heroes who have been recognized in Q3 and even the amazing interop heroes from Q2 as well. So I will say that we do have information out on our website. So if you're interested in seeing the entire class of interop heroes, I would really encourage you to go out and check them out, check out their stories because they are so incredible and just wide reaching. I mean, we have organizations who are involved in the technology behind interoperability and really trying to think about some of those untapped areas in interop and how they can make things happen. So for instance, consumer-mediated exchange, you know, as a patient, how do you make interoperability happen or how are you involved in interoperability as a consumer of healthcare? So there's that end of the spectrum. There's the standards work. You know, one of the things that we need in health IT to make everything else happen are standards. We need to be talking the same language or agree to specific items to actually have that true interoperability. So we have Dee Dee Davis, who's from the Sequoia Project and who has been instrumental in truly driving interoperability forward from one of our peer organizations. And I think that too, Matt, is an example of how this isn't specific to the Direct Secure Messaging community. This really encompasses the entire community. We also have people who are actually in the clinical setting. And I think that's really cool too. That's important. That's part of what we wanted to highlight is we wanted to learn more about these boots on the ground, the people that benefit from and are helping interoperability happen in the care setting. We wanted to hear more of those stories. And so one of them in particular is Tim Freund from Banner Del E Webb Medical Center. And he's the pre-hospital care manager and looked at how interoperability could happen from EMS, an EMS service bringing in a patient to the emergency department. And what is the transfer of health information look like there when seconds count? And how do you make that happen? So his story and how he really pushed interoperability forward in his organization was really incredible. And there are so many other stories like that. I mean, we really see wide swaths of the standards, the technology, the people in care settings, and then so many other ideas too. The final one that I'll highlight from this class, and again, I encourage everyone to go out and check out the entire class because it's hard to highlight the incredible depth in this class, but the ONC data analysis team. So the Office of the National Coordinator, I thought this was a really cool nomination and we were really excited to recognize them. So the Office of the National Coordinator data analysis team that's led by Vishali Patel, they give so much to the interoperability community in terms of gathering data, seeing what's out there, and then putting it in context and giving it back to the community so we know, okay, this is what the industry needs to do next. And we really can't truly move forward and know how we're progressing without their important work and that measurement that they're doing and how that coincides with policy too. So again, so many different aspects of interoperability covered in this class and so many incredible stories.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Great stuff there, Catherine. Appreciate that rundown there. And speaking of heroes, how can one become a hero? What is the selection process overall and how will it work on an ongoing basis?
Sure. So we're really excited to continue this program. And what it's looked like so far is that every quarter we've opened nominations for Interop Heroes. And the process of nominating an individual or a team or an organization as an Interop Hero has been pretty simple. Basically, we have categories that you can pick from of, okay, how have they contributed significantly to advancing interoperability? And those are things like alternatives to faxing or collaboration with others, identity proofing, organizational efficiencies, or using multiple standards together. So multiple categories to pick from. And then the second part is really that example. So back it up. Okay, if they're an interop hero, what have they done? Tell us the story. Tell us the case study or the data or whatever they've done. Provide us that information. And that's what we spotlight and that's what we highlight. So then at that point, it goes to a selection process, determining that the nominees actually have met the criteria that's set forth as an interop hero. And then we notify them of their selection. And then ultimately, we promote them. So I think what we're looking at in the future is continuing this process, but we may ultimately change the cadence in which we do the nominations and have the nomination period open, or there might be a specific number of nominations that we take. So it definitely, I think, will be important when the nomination period opens for people to be ready to submit those nominees. But ultimately, we're really excited about how it's gone so far. And we're listening to the feedback of the community on how we'll execute this initiative in the future too.
Outstanding. And you know, I'm going to go a little bit off script here too. What I love too is through this process is that you learn, you're gathering stories. And in many ways, you're spotlighting these stories in your videos too. So it's not just, hey, XYZ organization won. You're also helping get the word out about their great work too, right?
Yeah, Matt, I'm glad you brought this up because I think this is such a huge part of why we were driven to do this initiative from the beginning. This is probably an overused phrase that I use, but I always say, and if you watch these Interop Hero videos, you'll hear it throughout them, but I'm a big believer in collective wisdom. And so I think that highlighting these stories helps people, organizations, teams see what's possible and creates a spark for, okay, we can do that too, or, oh, that's an idea for something else we might do, and this is how we might execute it. So that's one of the most exciting parts of this program is really highlighting these stories so that others can see, hey, they're doing it, we can do it too. And hopefully that gets us to that point of really seeing more and more adoption and more progress of interoperability.
Outstanding. Awesome. Catherine, what are the future plans for this program?
Yeah, great question, Matt. So we're definitely planning on continuing it. I think we are planning a special surprise for April in 2022. That just happens to be Direct Trust's 10th anniversary. So we're really excited for that. And I think we'll have a special iteration or something special with the Interop Hero program around that time. But ultimately, we hope that we continue to get these wonderful nominations from the entire community. Again, want to highlight membership in Direct Trust is not required to submit a nominee, or you don't have to be using direct secure messaging as part of your nomination. So really, we want to celebrate truly all of the different parts of the industry and the success there. And we're just excited to continue celebrating and elevating these stories.
Awesome. Catherine, really appreciate your time today. And before we sign off, anything else to add or anything we may have missed?
Sure. I think you have mentioned the different spotlight videos that we've done, and I would encourage you to go out, check out our website, directtrust.org. You can also check out our YouTube channel at Direct Trust, and you can see these different spotlight videos. So you can learn more about these interop heroes and more in their own words of their story, and even sometimes some tips and tricks and advice outside of why they were originally nominated. So there's a lot of pearls of wisdom in those videos, and I'd encourage you to go and check those out.
Awesome. This concludes this Rosetta Health podcast interview with Catherine Ayers Wickenhauser, who's the Director of Communications at Direct Trust, who, as you heard, gave us a nice deep dive perspective on the wonderful program, which is the Direct Trust Interoperability Hero Initiative. And again, certainly recommend any and all organizations out there to do their research, check this out, and apply. And it certainly sounds like April 2022 is going to be a big one. So we all have our eye on that one as well. And Catherine, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Matt.